Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Yo, make no mistake, I started out just like many of you, a 9-to-5 worker at your school right behind me. This is where it all started for me, but I learned skills over the years, and I want you to learn some too. I want you to learn how to become financially free. I want you to set a legacy for your family. I want you to build generational wealth. You can do all that and more. Check out InvestFest. Swipe up.
Earners, what's going on? Traditional universities are outdated and don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They just teach you how to become an employee.
You go to school for 4 years and you leave with nothing but debt. But here at EYL University, our curriculum is much different.
Our university teaches you real-world skills that you can use to gain financial freedom right away. In traditional universities, you learn from professors that have never did what they teach, and they teach you how to become an employee. At our university, we use instructors that are currently successful in a specific field that they teach, and they teach you how to become an entrepreneur.
For a limited time only, you can join EYL University for 25% off of the annual membership. Learn about stocks, credit, real estate, crypto, and more. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up to become an earner.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. F*** a mic drop. Bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this Atlanta edition marathon.
Yo, we've been on a whole tour.
Hey. That's a fact. Heavy in the A, man. This is a highly anticipated. It's one of those episodes that has been building momentum for a while, but nothing happens before it's supposed to happen. So it's happening at the right time.
Hey, man.
CEO Matty J, if you've been on Clubhouse,
we borrowed him.
Yeah.
Clubhouse let
he
us
probably,
have him.
He probably got Clubhouse going on his phone right
yeah,
now.
Somebody's doing this Clubhouse somewhere.
It's showing that he's still active on there.
How is this possible?
Yo, this dude, Clubhouse champion. But even before that, man, he's actually. I heard about him for a while, and I saw him on social media, but I had never tapped in with him. I never spoke to him. And the first time I really started to engage with him was on Clubhouse a few weeks ago. And I realized, like, yo, he actually is a really, really smart dude. Like, I hit him one time off Clubhouse, like, yo, bro, I need to play for this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a very, very smart guy, man. And he does a variety of different things. But I think one he's probably known for the most is the car business.
Really,
like Toro on steroids, like everything, like, you know what I'm saying, as far as how to actually monetize the car game and how to, you know, have your own pretty much car rental business.
Yep.
And how to make money from vehicles and things of that nature. And it's just so many different hacks and tricks, and it's really outrageous. Kind of
this is one. This is one of them notepad episodes.
Yeah, for sure. Notepad. For sure. He has 48 cars.
Yes, sir.
Like, so last time I heard that it was baby
Mike Tyson. Oh,
a baby. Maybe he had like 50. It was the cash money early days.
Yeah,
like I got 50 call, man.
But it's done a little bit differently than
absolutely, absolutely.
So we'll talk about that. But first and foremost, Matty J, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. I want to give all thanks and praise to God Elohim for this situation to come to fruition. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to share my experience and create some impact. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it, man. So, all right, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, how did you become the car king of Atlanta? Like, how did this? You're an interesting guy. You used to throw parties. You got a whole lot of different background stories. Yeah. How did you get to this point now?
First off, I have 48 cars now, but it only started off with one. So I think it's very important to establish that. But it was organically because, as you guys know, the Turo platform allows you to just upload the picture of your car, price it, and then people that's in the market looking for a rental, they can pay whatever price you listed for to get the keys. So I actually had an underutilized car, my Tesla Model S. I live in Atlantic Station. And I barely got a chance to drive my car. So Capital One gave me my loan. My loan monthly note was like $900 a month. I'm paying $900 a month for a car that I'm barely driving. So I had to ask myself, okay, I can keep paying this $900 for no reason, or I could figure out a way to turn this liability on wheels into asset-making deals. So my boy said, yo, there's a platform called Relay Rides. So at the time, it's called Relay Rides. So shout out to Jacoby for putting me on to that one. So I did my research, listed my car, same day it got booked for $150.
Relay Rides?
Yeah, it's called Turo now.
Oh, okay.
It was called Relay Rides. Yeah, so I actually saw the example from him first. Because he had a car that he had on there, and he would run downstairs. He'll be at my spot, my condo. He'll run downstairs. He said, I got to get my keys to somebody. I was like, why you got to get your keys to somebody? I got a renter. I'm like, you got a renter? What you mean you got a renter? So yeah, this website called Relay Rides, and I got somebody renting my car for the day. Blew my mind, but I never tapped into it because I never needed to use it until I keep the Sabbath day on Saturdays. I don't work on Saturdays, so my car, I say, okay, I can rent my cars on Saturday and allow the renters to pay my car note. I end up making $2,600 that month profit from renting out my car on that specific platform called Turo. Crucial.
So that was the beginning.
That was the birth.
What year was that?
This was 2017, going to 18.
So when did Turo become Turo?
That's a good question. I want to say, we can look it up, probably 2013, you know what I'm saying? But the actual name change?
Yeah, like the name change.
I got on when it was already changed. I didn't even know it was the same company at first.
Okay.
So I looked, I'm like, oh, this was Relay Rise. So probably it was around 15, 16 maybe.
Okay.
So this is like the Airbnb for cars at the time.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, because Turo. Let's back up a little further because people might. I don't think Turo's even legal in New York, is it?
No. Yeah, I don't think we. Yeah, he's laughing because we can't do it.
No, definitely not New York City.
Yeah, we can't run this one.
It's one of those things where some people still might not even know what Turo is.
That's fact.
What exactly is Turo?
Yeah, like King said, Troy, you said it on a hit it on a nail. It's the Airbnb for cars. Put your car on there. Whether it's your car, your homie's car, your sister's car, you can throw it on there and run it out to these people on this peer-to-peer platform. Crucial.
And that, you know,
crucial.
It's one of these things that's extremely, like, for me, because I live in New York. I'm going to move to L.A. Mm. Everybody's trying to convince me not to move to L.A. But I'm going to still have a place in New York.
Just let them say it, man.
So in my brain, I'm like, you need a car in L.A.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
I already have a car in New York. So I can have a car in L.A., have a car in New York, put the cars on Turo when I'm not in each place, and then actually make more money. I'm not even paying for the car at that point. I'm actually making money from the car, and now it becomes like an Airbnb situation.
Exactly.
But we're going to need New York to change some rules.
Yeah, the insurance situation.
We're going to need them to change some rules.
Assuming that New York.
But you can run it out of New Jersey. I know from what I heard, New Jersey is like 30 minutes away.
Yeah,
we're close.
We're close to
Jersey. That's not a bad idea.
Yes, that same play is crucial because the producer, Michael Brian Cox.
Yeah, we just ran into him yesterday.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. R&B only. Shout out to Alex. Yeah, we was
good
in
vibe. Good vibe in there.
Yeah.
Medusa.
I haven't met him. It was through Clubhouse. He found out I was the Turo plug. He reached out to him, pulled up on me in my office, and he said, yo, man, when I come into Atlanta, I got my spot in L.A. I don't need to rent out somebody else's car. I can buy a car, rent it out, and when I'm in the city, I get my car and it's paying for itself. So I said, yeah, that's definitely a play. So we basically talked about how he can do it, what car to get, where to buy the car, all those good stuff, so he can be able to have an asset in Atlanta when he's in L.A.
So is it similar in a way like an Airbnb when you rent out your place, like you're a host and you get ratings and all that?
Yep, same thing. Super host, all-star, review, same exact play.
It's depending on the car. So if I got a Lamborghini, right, does that automatically put me in a different tier than somebody has a Toyota Camry?
Yep, they got the deluxe edition. So if you put up a car that's usually like 90,000 and above, they have like a deluxe edition. And they have different insurance packages for those because they got to protect that asset for not just for the host, but also for Turo to make sure that just some random 20-year-old can just book a car for $200 a day without the proper insurance.
It's crazy too, because it's also, I'm learning so much from different people that we interview, and shout out to Credit Dude. He told us about lease swap.
Swap lease.
Yeah.
Credit Dude. He's out of Jersey. Yeah, he's with DJ Envy.
Yeah.
But he told us about swap lease, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's a situation where you can actually take over somebody's lease.
Yep.
Like if somebody's down on their luck, they brought a Lamborghini, and it's like the recession hit, and they out of work, and now they got to get it off.
Yep.
You can take over somebody's lease.
Yeah, no down payment.
Yep.
No down payment, and you could probably get a way better deal.
Yep.
Because they scrambling.
Yep.
It's like a distressed seller of a property.
Exactly. Same thing, real estate. But, same thing.
And then you can put that on Toro.
Yep. Right? You don't even need to drive it. Okay. You couldn't make your payments? Cool. I'm going to find somebody else to make the payments.
That's a fact.
You can make some money in between.
So with the Toro, do you have to own the car? Can you lease the car? Or
if you have the right to have the keys to that vehicle, I'm not saying go to Enterprise. I'm saying that,
if you own it or lease it.
Yeah, or finance, whatever case might be, right? Most people finance it. So I'll give you an example. So if my brother goes to, he's in active duty and he goes to Germany or South Korea to do his active duty, his car's just sitting at home doing nothing right now. So I can do a deal with my brother to say, yo, instead of your car just sitting here doing nothing, let's do a rev share deal, 50-50, 80-20, whatever the case may be, so I can manage your car for you and have it rented out. So you can not only make money, but your car ain't just sitting here collecting dust. So those are the opportunities that come from those situations.
And you said depending upon the age or the experience of the driver, the insurance changes?
Yeah.
So what's the type of premiums you're talking
about? So Turo, specific that platform, I'm in the car rental space, so I don't just leverage Turo. I use Get Hire, Hire Car, personal bookings, like just
so there's a bunch of different websites,
so many platforms, apps. So many Fetch Truck. Like if you got trucks and you want to rent out your trucks to little drivers who don't have their cars down for it, you can rent them on that. Like
what kind of trucks?
Pickup trucks.
Oh, pickup
trucks. Yeah, pickup trucks, commercial trucks, box trucks, things of that nature. So as far as the opportunities that exist, my job as somebody who's in this space is to present all the opportunities, and if it fits your circumstances, you have a way to make some income and turn that liability into an asset.
So let me ask you this. You said how to never miss a car payment, even if you lose your job.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in that.
How to never miss a payment, even if you lose a job. Because that's the biggest thing. Because a lot of people who get these cars, they have a fixed income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they lose their job, there's no wiggle room, especially if you live in paycheck to paycheck. So what ends up happening is this. The first thing they look at is, dang, I got my mortgage or my rent or my car. No, those are the two biggest expenses that they're looking at. But if they're not driving a car, like right now, the pandemic, most people are working from home now. Now your car is definitely being underutilized.
Yeah.
You're not driving your car like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a couple options of, dang, do I let my loan go on default and they just repo my car? Or now can you tap into this opportunity to just have your car rented out to somebody who actually is going to use their car? For example, during the pandemic, you know what business skyrocketed? Grocery delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Uber Eats.
Grubhub. Yeah.
Postmates. All these things skyrocketed. And the people who didn't have cars to tap into that hustle can now rent a car from you to be able to tap into that hustle. So I'm even teaching my students that, look, if you get a Hyundai Sonata, go finance one. Your car note's about $300 a month. You could find somebody on the platform called a Hire Car to pay you $300 a week to use your car for their business on Postmates and GitHub and Grubhub and things like that nature. Crucial play. Even if your friend, your cousin doesn't have a job, you can propose to him. Hey, if you don't have a job right now, you can do delivery for Postmates. They'll say, well, I don't have a car. Don't worry about that. I'll rent you a car, right, in a situation like that. And even if it's not your car, you can find somebody else's car to be able to rent, as long as they know in the agreements there.
So you said you got 48 cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know the legendary stories. You had 33 in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I've probably had five in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
How does this happen?
It was a transition process. So of course I started off with one, my Tesla Model S. The numbers were amazing. Like I said, I made $2,600 profit off of one car. I said, okay, as a hustler, you know, if it's making this much money for one car, I just need to double up, triple up. So I went from one to three. My Maserati, I went to Gravity Autos in Atlanta, Georgia. I got a Maserati Ghibli. This is a $30,000 car. It was MSRP $80,000.
Wait. I'm thinking like, yo, Maserati. I know that car.
Crazy.
30, is it like, how'd that happen? Is it damaged?
No.
Like
how'd you get it? No, the depreciation on Maserati, people don't know this. People don't know this at all. Brand new, this car is $80,000.
Yeah.
2 years later, just 2 years, just throw 10,000 miles, 17,000 miles, it drops all the way down to 30,000. The depreciation on this car is crazy, crazy. That's a good look for me because people still perceive this car as a Maserati.
Right.
They're going to pay anywhere from $100 to $400 a day for this car, right? A day. The car note is probably only $500, $600 for a Maserati. Once I found that out, I said, okay, that's going to be the one of the top performers. So I made sure I had a Maserati, and I made sure I had a Mercedes C300. Those two cars really did well. But the issue was I ended up doing a personal booking, and my Maserati ended up getting totaled out. Mm. The insurance, luckily, my car is protected. When I do personal bookings, I make sure that they have insurance. So if they do anything else, it doesn't hit my insurance, I don't got to worry about it. They paid it out. They paid me out. But now I have a paid-off car on my credit history. Paid-off car. Mm-hmm. It was a good situation.
Right.
All I got to do now is just get another car. So that's what I did. I ended up getting a Corvette instead, though. Got my Corvette. Long story short, everybody knows the story. Corvette got stolen. Corvette got stolen. Now I'm back to one. But now, since I bought so many cars, I know the process of buying cars now, dealerships, and the process of showing them your credit. I realized that when you go into these dealerships, right, people know this now, that they pull your credit report, and then they send your credit report to all their different lenders, all of them. So Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, B of A, all of them get the same report. So I realized, hold up, if they're sending my report to all these different lenders, all I have to do is go from Ford, get a car from Ford. So I'll tell Ford, finance manager or salesperson, please don't send my credit report to all these different lenders. Just send it to Ford, right? And then Ford will see how amazing my credit score is, my credit report is, and say, oh, how many cars you want? 2, 3, 4, whatever I want, because my credit score.
When you're walking in a dealership, you're like, I'm trying to get 4 cars?
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. Because I know what time it is. It's not liability no more. It's an asset. Yeah. So the more assets I can have, the more income I can bring in cash flow.
You bring in like a team with you? Because like
that's just me solo dolo.
So how you getting 4 cars off the
line? Yeah. So I tell them I'm transparent with the salesperson. Yeah. Look, I rent cars and I need this play to be done correctly. When I give you this report, please. Because their job at the end of the day is to sell a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Typically, they have to shotgun the terminology shotgun your credit app to all these banks. Because they want to make sure that you either get the right interest rate or just in case it gets denied from here, you get approved over here. But I was getting approved by everybody. So instead of trying to have my credit report sent to everybody, send it to one, cool, get my cars. I go across the street because, you know, there's car dealership strips.
Mm-hmm.
Go across the street, do the same thing to Mercedes. Mercedes will front run it. What car you want? Get the car I want. I go to Chevy, get my Corvette. I go to Maserati, get my Maserati. I go to all these dealerships and just run the same play over and over. That's how I got 33 cars.
So you had 33 cars in 1 week. You finance, leased them?
Finance. I leveraged my credit. Somebody would say, why would you over leverage it? I had a business structure. I'm really big on documenting the process and creating structures and SOPs. So based on the 3 cars I was managing, I knew how to scale it, right? So I leveraged my credit to be able to do so. My credit was good enough to not have a down payment. I didn't need a down payment. So I was just getting these, pick up these cars, right? So I was just picking up these cars. There's actually one car I had to put a down payment on, but that was a little bit different situation. I had to put $15,000 down on my Porsche Panamera. But for the most part, no money down.
On none of the cars?
None of these cars.
What kind of credit you gotta have to do that? 800 plus?
I actually had a 723, but I had a strong 723. Strong one. Right? And to be honest, you don't even have to have nothing. It's nothing too crazy as long as you get in a car that fits the criteria of what the banks are willing to give you.
So did you still had to? There was no money, like not even closing, like the tight. Was it like
taxes?
That gets rolled into the
payment.
Yeah, to the loan.
So how much was all your total payment?
I don't think nobody ever asked me this question. 1.6 million.
For 33 cars.
I think it was a little bit more than 33 cars. I ended up getting more cars a little bit later, but 1.6 million. I looked at my Excel sheet.
1.6 million.
I added it up that row. I'm like, God.
A year.
No. That's how much total. No, not a month.
Oh.
My monthly car notes total was like around 30,000 to 40,000. But the total amount of money I got loaned
was 1.6.
Yeah, 1.6.
So your payments monthly was $40,000 a month.
Yeah, around anywhere from 30 to 40.
Where you housing the cars?
That's not bad.
That's a good question.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So what I was doing at first, because when I have three cars, it was cool because I had my garage, I get two spaces. It was straight. I had my third one in another space. But now I have to figure out where I'm gonna put all these cars.
I'll find an apartment building with a lot.
So because I'm in Airbnb, I have a bunch of condos. So I try to leverage the condo space. Tell me why they sent me a note talking about, Mr. Manny, you're going to have to move all these cars. We know they're yours.
How many Airbnbs did you have?
I have 8.
So you tried to
park? I had 8. I have 7 now.
So you try to park 33 cars in 8?
I try to park it at one location. All at one.
And like
I have a picture of it, too.
A building?
Yeah. I had all my cars lined up. So when people, like the residents will drive in, they're like, what the heck is going on here? All these luxury cars, Corvettes, G-Wagons going on. It was pretty crazy. But I had to move it. But luckily, somebody called me. My boy called me and said, yo, Matt, I know there's a lot by the airport. Right next to the Hartsfield-Jackson, Atlanta airport, there's a lot. You can go ahead and talk to the owner and see if you can lease space. By God's grace, I was able to close that deal. Now I got my own car lot.
How much did you pay for the car lot?
$3,200 a month is my note.
$3,200 a month.
Yeah.
To house
40 spaces.
40
spaces in the back. I think 10 spaces in the front. I'm able to rent it just like an Enterprise. Actually, I'm right next to Enterprise and Hertz. Hertz is right here, Enterprise is right here, and I'm over here.
Matty Chase over there.
What it do, bro? Baby?
So all right, so you got $40,000 a month that you got to pay, but you don't have to pay your first car note.
That's
until,
the clutch part.
Yeah,
first 30. I forgot about
in
that.
My brain. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It gives you
straight
like
profit. It's actually some cars is 30 days, some notes 45 days. So I get to run up the bag for a whole 30, 45 days.
So before you made your first car payments, how much money did you run up in that 30-day time?
I want to say, I think it was nothing crazy, like $20,000,
$22,000. Okay.
I took some screenshots. Some of them was harder to like onboard and make sure that I can start renting out immediately. Some of them was same day. As soon as I got it, put it on Turo, because you still got to take pictures and all that. I still got to, and it was just me and my wife that time. So you have to take your pictures, you got to upload it. I didn't feel like mentally dealing with that. When you deal with these dealerships, they already took all your mental energy out your whole body,
mm-hmm.
right? But I also teach students how to deal with the dealerships too, to make sure they don't get finessed in these streets.
So is there a difference between buying a new car and a used car?
Yeah, definitely. Mainly the pricing, but dealerships, they really want to offset their new cars.
Right,
to maintain their relationships with these manufacturers and a little bit more profit margin when it comes to the prices. So as we know, people know, as soon as you drive off a new car off the lot, you get hit with $2,000 to $4,000 in depreciation.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this, but nobody really knows why. It's because most of that money that you're losing isn't for the value of the car, it's for the marketing. They have to recoup their costs. When these dealerships market and brand and sell and pay their commissions to the salespeople, that money has nothing to do with the car. So as soon as you drive off the lot, that's already the hit you got to take because they got to get their profit margin off of that. So people don't know that. It has nothing to do with anything else outside of that. But here's the thing. That's why we're not supposed to be buying new cars. It's not a good idea. Unless you got the money, you don't really care about that $3,000, $4,000 depreciation hit. It's always suggested by me and my team to always get these cars used. Like my 2017 Maserati that we got for $32,000. If we bought that car brand new, we'll pay an extra $40,000 for it. Same car. Right? And that will mess up the profit margins when it comes to running it out.
So the first month you said you made like 20,000.
Yeah.
But you still
might have been up to 40. I don't know the exact number though.
What did you peak at with that fleet?
Yeah. I was getting more cars and I was getting more cars, so the number starts fluctuating. But anywhere from 20,000 to 60,000 was per month.
Okay.
Right. And then of course that's gross.
Yeah.
Of course, we got to talk about net when it comes to expenses. I had to hire a team. I have 7 employees, have my car lot now. Things are a little bit different as far as expenses and management and operating costs.
So was it profitable? Because it's like.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, if you're paying $40,000 a month, but your gross is $60,000, the net probably is $40,000. So you're like breaking even.
Nah, well, I was probably netting probably $10,000 per month.
Okay.
Yeah, anywhere. So the prices fluctuating. So anywhere from $10,000. So my car notes was probably around $30,000 a month. Up towards the $40,000 because I start getting more cars.
Okay.
Yeah. So each car averages anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a month net.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was what was happening. But some cars weren't ready or some cars were getting in an accident. So the cars that were performing well will offset the cars that weren't performing well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is there like, because the Maserati thing is crazy.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere that you went to find out the level of depreciation on cars and then that became your playbook for like, yo, I got to get those?
I actually should have did that in the beginning. I didn't know nothing about the depreciation. I didn't care. All I knew was my car note was $600 and I could probably make $2,000 per car.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about. I didn't know about the depreciation until as I started getting into the business because depreciation, if I'm getting a used car, the depreciation is not too bad. Once the car's already 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't dealing too much with that unless I got new cars. So that's what I ended up doing. I ended up getting new cars because I realized on the Turo platform, everybody was getting Corvettes now. Once I start running the play, everybody, and I don't mind sharing it. So I'm sharing the play. So people say, oh, that's the play? We'll get some Corvettes too. So now it's in the market that all these Corvettes are available. So as a client, now when they go to Turo, they now need to choose which Corvette they want to get. I'm going to get the 2017 Corvette. Or the 2020 Corvette, 2021 Corvette. And depending on the price, people will usually go for the newer car.
So, okay. So how do you buy a newer used car at a dealership without getting finessed or stressed?
So, all right. So the thing is, typically when we go into the dealerships, we don't know who the players in the game are, who's involved. We go into this game called buying a car, but don't know who the players are. So the players are, one, the salesperson. That's typically the first person you see or that sees you first as soon as you get on that lot. They see you as soon as you get on that lot.
It look like money coming. Yeah.
They pop up. That's the salesperson. And their job is to sell you a car, whether it's the car that you want or a car that they convince you to buy, which is cool. That's their job. But then there's after you deal with the salesperson and pricing and all that and that good stuff, test driving, they have the finance manager or the sales manager. Sales manager oversees the salesperson. But then after you figure out your deal on your payments, credit report, history, approval process, you then move into the finance manager. So because people don't know the chain of different individuals that they're going to be running into, they don't know what to say. They don't know how to negotiate. They don't know how to do nothing like I was. I didn't know nothing. I just saw a price on the website, and that's what I'm asking for, not knowing that I can negotiate. If I can negotiate the price down, that will lower my costs on my monthly note, which will give me more profit margin when I start renting out these cars. So getting a car note for $500 a month versus $760 a month is a difference. That's your profit margin. You can cash flow $100 a month off of a car. That's good. That's good. It's your car. That's your cell phone being paid for every month. You can look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever have to pay for my cell phone for a whole year because this car is paying for it, things of that nature. So when you go into the dealership, knowing how this process works is super important. So typically when people are going to these dealerships, they're getting the car financed. So you having your credit profile already prepared is super important. Super important. Most people don't know what their credit score is or credit report is right when they go to a dealership. And if a salesperson or finance person knows that you don't know, they have leverage. Mm. Remember, they're in the business to sell cars and make sure that they get the most income out of each car possible for their bottom line. So why is that important for you to know your credit score? It's because so you can know that when they literally run your credit report and come back to you, some salespeople, they say, your credit score is not too good. We can only get you approved for $20,000 at 10%. But if you know your credit score is stronger than that, like, hold on, 10%? I should be getting 6%, 5%. Why are you charging 10, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have an answer to that, they're going to let you, you're going to be happy with the 10% just because you got approved. And they had you sitting there in that lobby for 2 hours.
Waiting.
Knowing that it only takes 5 minutes to find out whether you're approved or not.
So there's three bureaus, right? So which one are they using or are they taking the average of the three?
Yeah. So typically it depends on what lender they're dealing with. Uh-huh. So for example, I go to the dealership and I give, I fill out the credit report.
Right.
The sales manager grabs that credit report, whether it's online, website, whatever the case may be, and gives it to the sales manager, right, who then helps, and finance manager runs the report. They actually have, if you go to CarMax, they'll actually let you see it. They fill in your information, your social, your address, all that good stuff, and it literally plugs it into their system and shoots that information to their lenders. Mm-hmm. And instantly, probably 10 minutes, they'll respond back with approved, not approved, approved with stipulations, not approved because of this. Yeah, we're thinking about it, but have this person tell us this information, why they've been moving for the last 2 years. Can we verify their income? They'll do those things. Mm. But it all happens within 5 to 10 minutes. It doesn't take too long. So once they find that out, they can be able to let you know, yep, you got approved with Bank of America, you got approved with Chase. Which one do you want to do? But typically, they don't give you two options. They only present the one
I'm trying to think. I've never got presented with two.
They don't do that.
Yeah, it's be like,
don't ever know that you got approved by multiple banks. Yeah. They only let you know one, whatever was the most profitable for them. So what they do is, you got approved for 6% over here, but they don't have a relationship with Bank of America where they get money, any money from that interest, mm-hmm. right? Because dealerships don't make as much money as more anymore from the car sale, from the top, because the internet. Internet now has the prices of these cars. You can shop prices better, way better now.
Yeah.
So what do the dealerships do to offset that? They make their money on the back end. Selling us warranties, packages, the interest rate. They add 2 points sometimes. 2 to 3 points. Sometimes states limit them from adding points. But if they didn't have no limit, some people would probably say, if you got approved for 4% and you don't know better, congratulations, 8%. You're approved for your car, sir.
That's a fact.
And you're so happy that you got your car. Yeah. You don't worry about the 8% because all you're looking at is the monthly payments. And that's what the salesperson is supposed to let you do. Focus on the monthly payments, not the interest rate.
So, I mean, at this rate, you're accumulating a lot of cars.
Yeah.
But with all cars comes wear and tear.
Yep.
So how do you mitigate that? Are you making connections with repair shops, auto bodies?
Yep.
What's that process like?
So when you're in this rental business, you end up building relationships with the auto body shops, the mechanics, the car wash business, insurance. Basically, once you come in the rental space, you're not even in the rental space. You're in the insurance space. Right, you're in the insurance game. You're in the car washing game, car maintenance game. So while I was in this business, I built relationships with the top of the top in Atlanta. Mm. How to wash these cars and get the right soaps, the right materials to make sure that these cars are being protected and maintained well at cheap cost, right? A lot of these cars can be maintained really, really low. But a lot of people don't get those same rates because they're not in this business. They just go and take their car to the nearest auto body shop, and because they don't have a relationship with them, they hit them over the head with prices. You know what I'm saying? So that's how that situation works. I actually got hit on my head with my Maserati. As soon as I bought the Maserati, the brakes were warped, and I didn't know. I didn't know better. Mm. And because I didn't know better, I didn't do better. So I'm driving the car. As soon as I got off the lot, I'm like, why is this thing shaking? I take the car to the Firestone. The dude pulls the wheel out. He said, bro, I don't know how you were even driving this car. The tire was bald, all that, because I didn't have the knowledge to inspect the car. But there's a tool. Here's the tool that I go to now. It's called yourmechanic.com. You pay that person $75 before you buy a car. They'll inspect it, let you know this is a good car, and you can have your car with less buyer's remorse because you checked it out properly.
How do you buy a car under your business name without reporting it in your personal name?
So there's a couple of different strategies to do that. I think you guys talked about it. I tapped into the but one that wasn't mentioned was if somebody gets a business credit card with $10,000, $20,000, you could buy the car with the credit card. That's simple, right? Mm-hmm. If you got 1% interest or 0% interest for a year, you could literally buy your car with the credit card and tell them to put it in the business name. That simple, right? Most people never thought about it that way because they're so used to getting cars for personal use. Mm. And personal use typically means it's a liability. So we be transferring it from a liability to an asset. We're gonna buy it under a business name because also there's gonna be protection, more protection under business, and it's not gonna mess with our debt to income ratio. Super important.
All right, so this is crazy, right? So this is partnering with small dealerships, but using their cars to rent.
Yeah. Like, so
what is this?
So the rental space was so advantageous that I never had enough cars. All my cars be rented, but I'll never have enough. right? So I was like, dang, how can I get more cars? Because I'm not going to be able to get more cars with my name. Now they're showing. After those 30 days that I utilized my credit to get these cars, because they weren't showing on my credit, now they're all on my car, my credit. So I can't get any more cars.
Yeah.
So I was able to go to different smaller dealerships, mom and pop dealerships, and say, the cars that you guys have in your lot, it looks like a car graveyard because it's collecting dust. Did you know you guys can rent out these cars? We don't rent our cars. We're not in this business. That's how it would be in the first place.
Yeah.
But once you start showing them numbers, showing them that it makes sense, build trust and rapport, you can actually rent out their cars for you and rent out their cars for you or for them, actually, and do a deal with them, 50-50, 80-20, whatever deal you want to do with them. The thing is, if you don't have the cash or we don't have the credit to get cars, you can utilize other people's vehicles. You can utilize other people's credit. I can literally walk up to somebody on the street and say, hey, what's your credit score? I got a cool 700. Did you know with that 700, you can get you a car that's going to bring you a little cash flow in? No, tell me about it. You convince that person, you can get them a car under their name and do a business deal with them, renting out that car.
Take a percentage.
Yep.
So how do you partner with police officers to get the scoop on car accidents?
Oh, my God.
But how what's the deal with that?
Yo, all right. So my boy in New York, right? So say you have a car fleet of cars. You have 5 Toyota Priuses, economy cars, right? When there's an accident, what typically happens? Somebody calls the police to be able to make the report.
Mm-hmm.
But in that accident, this person's car is wrecked and this person's car is wrecked, right? No matter whose fault it is, these cars are now undrivable. And they're going to go to the tow yard or whatever case may be, or auto body shop. But now this person that was in this wreck and this person that was in the wreck, they don't have a car to drive. So I know a dude who has a network with police officers. Yo, call me anytime there's an accident. I'm going to pull up and let them know that we can fix their car. Insurance is going to pay for it. They basically convinced them person, look, you got an accident. You got insurance? Cool. Insurance is going to pay for it. But take it to my auto body shop. Not only are you going to take the car to my auto body shop, I'm going to provide you with a car rental that they're going to pay for. Insurance is going to pay for at the same time. So he double dipped. But he was able to double dip because he has a network of officers that call him. It's basically how the tow truck companies work.
Mm.
Yeah, tow truck companies, how they work is because they grandfathered into a network of police officers. When the police officer needs a car towed, they call the network of tow trucks. And they come in. So any tow truck company that has these contracts, they make their money by just pulling up anytime a police officer calls. But people don't know that you could do it for your car rentals too, right? Not just police officers, anybody that's in a situation of witnessing a car accident. If you could put it out there in the universe, if you see a car accident, call me. You can be able to tap into that and renting out the
car. Like those billboards in New York, like personal injury attorneys. Yep. Like, you hit by.
Same thing.
Yeah, Celino and Barnes.
Celino and Barnes.
One of them passed away, right? Rest in peace.
It's like the ambulance chases. They're like, if you fall,
I said that's dope.
That's crazy. I remember the show, Better Call Saul. That's what.
Yeah.
So it's a whole booming industry of people. It's like they look for that. Like if you fall at work or if you fall, and now unfortunately it's crazy. Do you know what the most popular thing that you hear, especially in New York? I don't know if it's in Atlanta. Police brutality. If you or somebody you know has been a victim of police brutality in the last 2 years,
Benjamin Crump's before.
That's Benjamin Crump.
I ain't mad at
him. He showed up everywhere.
He's on it.
Yo, if you or somebody you know has been a victim of police brutality in the last 2 years, call 1-800.
Easy. Yeah, it's a strong. These are strong play. Once more people start being privy to these different opportunities in the rental space, you know how black people are. We get real creative.
We get real creative, right, in what we can do. Yeah, as natural hustlers. Born hustlers.
You know what I'm
saying? So I'm glad you broke down the interest part.
Yeah.
But is there a way to buy the car without high interest or interest at all?
Yeah. So that's a good point. So in order to get a car with zero interest, it's either you got to have like super good. A credit profile, and they're just doing it as a favor because that's how they make their money. Banks, they need it, as you guys know, in the finance space. Banks, they need to invest that money that's just sitting there, or inflation is going to eat it up. So there's different ways that banks invest the money that's just sitting there: home loans and auto loans, and investing into the market. So out of auto loans, they have to make their money back. Say Erica needs a car and she doesn't have the money to pay for it for cash. Bank will say, well, okay, we'll give you the money for 2% back, 1% back, depending on the situation. But the way that you can get it for 0% is if you buy with a credit card that has 0% interest. You don't have to buy a $20,000 car to get into space. You can buy a $5,000 car. If you don't have $5,000 cash, you can use your car, your credit card, to buy a $5,000 car and immediately use it to be able to be rented on platforms like HireCar, Turo, generate the income, pay that loan back, and now you got a car.
And even, in my brain, I'm thinking even a supplement, even if you're not doing it as a full-time business,
yeah, supplement.
The average person, outside of their living expenses, their car is their biggest expense, mm-hmm. their biggest monthly.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like you either your rent or your mortgage is going to be number mm-hmm. one. Your car is going to be number mm-hmm. two for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Outside like student loans, stuff like that. So it's like the average person might be struggling. And even if it's a $300, yep. $400, whatever, in my brain, there's always some time where you may not use your car.
Facts. Vacations.
Vacations, Saturday or, mm-hmm. you know, Sunday if you just, you know, just staying in the
or if you're taking, like if you're taking the train to work every day.
Yeah.
You just want to switch it up a little bit for the month.
Yeah.
The season.
How's that work? Like, can an average person that yes. maybe is not looking to do a business, but just looking to just cut back on their monthly note mm-hmm. and not have to pay that money? And
yep.
How's that?
As long as they don't have an emotional attachment to the car and they don't mind sharing it and handing the keys to somebody and understanding how to manage the car, absolutely. Well, like, for me, that's how I started. Saturdays only. But Saturdays turned into me having a whole operation. For this specific business.
Because it's dope because it's like, there's a reference point for it, Airbnb.
Yeah.
So it's not foreign. It's like,
exactly.
It's already, it's think about Airbnb exactly. just for cars.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there certain, like, all right, like if you just have a Honda or a Dodge,
mm-hmm.
will people be willing to yes. rent those?
Yes. I'm in the luxury space, but I'm also have economy cars, standard cars. I got smart cars, paid cash for it. Smart cars work. Somebody plays with the smart car or any car, you can get the car wrapped. I think it was mentioned before. Get the car wrapped on all sides. I've actually seen it at Atlantic Station. The dude pulled up. I said, yo, let me ask you a question. How much did this business pay you to wrap your car? He said, $300 for the month. He made $300 just to wrap somebody else's business on a car, right? His car probably looked beat up. The paint was chipping. Now he got a fresh little wrap on there, making $300. And that $300 pays for probably his groceries and gas. Now he don't get to worry about groceries or gas ever again until he finds it, of course, unless he doesn't do it anymore. Mm. That's just one way, right? And then he can, again, rent out his car to people who need to just travel. It's just building a network of people who need a car in any situation.
Well, let me ask you this, because like if I rent a car from Hertz or, you know, I'm going to the airport
mm-hmm.
or the actual car rental place, mm-hmm. It's usually centrally located.
Yeah.
So if I live like in a suburb or something like that, do I have to actually drive the car for somebody to come pick it up? Or like, how's that aspect of the car rental business work?
Location. I got you. Yeah. So yeah, for example, if I have a car and I'm like an hour away from Atlanta, right? If I'm an hour away from Atlanta and I don't want to tap into the city or the airport where everybody is at, I would have to build a network of having people that's in that area that need cars for rent.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised. If there's no enterprise there, that means it's still people that need the car. There's people in our way that wished that there was a place for them to be able to rent cars in their specific area. And the question is, why would somebody rent out a car in, for example, Loganville, and that was just an hour away? Well, somebody's car broke down.
Yeah.
They need a car.
Yeah, supply and demand.
Yeah,
supply and demand.
So in the hotel business, like Airbnb, I know there's a checkout time. So I'm wondering, in the car space, is it like, yo, I rented from 11 to 11?
Yeah.
And if I don't bring it back in that time, what's the penalty? Or what happens if I don't bring it back at all?
Yeah, same situation with Airbnb.
Yeah.
So check in, check out time, same situation.
Yeah.
Where you can actually set up, it's your car. You can set it up however you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Pickups are at this time, between this time and this time. You can set up like that. And then when they book your car, they tell you, okay, cool, I'll pick it up at 3 o'clock. I'll pick it up at 5. If there's after hours, you can charge more for after hours, or you can just make it between these hours. But one of the biggest issues is, of course, people bringing the car back late and messing up bookings, just like Airbnb.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of managing the communication with the guests to make sure that they bring the car back. And if they don't bring the car back, there's different ways to get compensated, whether it's through taking their deposit or on Turo, letting Turo know that they didn't bring the car back and that they need to be charged for a half a day or a whole day, depending on how late they were.
Do you have a maintenance team? Because I know after somebody leaves, they clean the apartment. Definitely. You have somebody to clean the car.
Definitely. The check-in, check-out team, they make sure that the car came back in the same condition that it went out in, right? Check the tires, because that's one of the biggest things that get messed up in the car rental base.
Mm-hmm.
They rim rash the tires. But all these different situations that may happen, we have protocols for every situation. If somebody messes up the rims, There's a fee for that. There's a reimbursement fee for that. If somebody smokes in the car, there's a fee for that. Same situation. Little dinks and dings.
Yeah. You're creating all these things?
Yeah, I got a whole, I'm really analytical.
Yeah.
I made sure I had a list for every possible situation. Here's my quote. If it can't happen, it will. So you just need to make sure we have the process and procedures to take care of it when it does. And we make sure we communicate it with the guest beforehand so it's not a surprise that it smells like smoke in here. It didn't smell like smoke like before, so we're going to have to charge to take care of the smell for the next guest. So, of course, some people take responsibility, but some people say, man, I don't want to smoke. I don't want to smoke no weed, man. Why smoke? Bro, it smells like weed in here. You know what I'm saying? So that's part of the nature of the business. But making sure that you have the systems in place to take care of it.
Let me ask you this. One of the biggest hurdles that stops people from getting cars, especially like probably at scale like this, would be their credit. So do you have any hacks or tips for people to, you know, rebuild, repair their credit to get into the car?
And we got a whole network of these dope, because credit, when it comes to credit repair, 2 years ago, it was like, is that scary? We just didn't know the laws. We didn't know the process and procedures of getting these things off our credit profile because of the loopholes that were created. Right. And luckily we have teams like we got Recession Proof that can help people with that process to educate them. But through even through Recession Proof, there's hundreds of women and men who now know how to take care of these inquiries, reports, evictions, student loans legally. We're not even talking about finessing the system, literally legally doing it. So if somebody wants to use their own profile to do so, they can do it. Or they can build out a business profile and buy a car under the business name that has nothing to do with their horrible personal credit. Business profile straight, personal is horrible, you can just use your business. But somebody says, somebody might say, well, I don't have a business profile. There's strategies that are out there where you can buy a business's profile, shelf companies, and add trade lines to that specific shelf company that exists, and then operate within that business. There's so many people who sell business. I can sell my business right now to somebody. My business has been out for 12 years.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so literally, CEO Cartel is my LLC. Say if I was never using CEO Cartel, right? Or I stopped using it, or I was being really lax, or I built this LLC just to sell it. I could just sell the LLC. It has nothing to do with the services or products, just this business entity. I could sell a business entity and that what they call shelf companies. It's like a body, but of course, the body can't just have skeleton. It has to have its skin and bones. That's why the profile is important. So they add the skin and bones via trade lines, via business transactions and things of that nature. And that's the different strategy as well. So many strategies. The excuse of I don't have the cash or credit isn't an excuse anymore. We can leverage somebody else's cash, leverage somebody else's credit, leverage somebody else's time.
So you talked about getting it from the dealership. You talked about getting the cars from mom and pops. Mm-hmm. What about auctions?
Yeah.
So what's that auction process look like?
Yeah. So, man, when, for example, say we got an accident. So I'll say NFL player gets his car crashed, but no, he's no longer in the league. He's not making the money like he used to make it. So he can't pay for the maintenance on the car no more, or can't pay to fix it, whatever the case may be, or just doesn't want to, right? That car is now sitting at the auto body shop, just chilling, right? So now if it sits there too long and the person never picks up the car, they put a lien on that car.
Right.
They have the opportunity to either sell it to auction after his lien or sell it to you if you know better. If you pull up and say, yo, any cars that you put on lien, sell it to me first. They'll send it to the auction, right? Or if it already went to the auction, most people think that you need a dealer's license to buy cars at the auction. Some do, like Mannheim, but there's a dealership, or there's an auction where you don't need a dealer's license, that you can go there and buy cars, cash cars, salvage cars, right? Turo doesn't allow salvage cars, but if you're doing personal bookings and the car is straight and it's been checked out, you can rent out those cars. You know what I'm saying? And those are the different strategies on how to do that.
How do you feel about, like, we see Hertz going under and a lot of car dealership, car rental places is going under.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see the rise of Toro and things of that nature. Why? What's the disconnect? Like, it's not like people don't need cars anymore. How come the big boys are struggling?
Right. I think it's because their business model is, obviously their business model is different. They have, for example, there'd be one gym that shuts down. I think Gold's Gym also shut down.
Yeah.
Another gym is thriving. The only difference is the business model and the revenue model and the capacity of services. So as we know, Hertz, Budget, all those big companies in this car rental space, they have too many cars, right? They have either too many cars or they don't have the right cars that people actually want to rent out, or they're not serving the right market, or they have limitations because they have limitations like you have to be 25 and older to get a car, or you have to have a credit card or debit card with this. They have different stipulations for you to get cars. So at scale, larger companies are more prone to be affected by a pandemic because it's a large scale business. So for me, because I'm smaller, I'm able to pivot more. So on Turo, when the pandemic had, it was less bookings. But I was able to pivot to running out to nurses when they came into town. Mm. Nurses, they were getting paid $10,000 a month to help Atlanta with the corona situation. To leave their city and state and get flew out to this specific state to help. But now this nurse needs a place to stay and a car to drive. So now that I know that they need these two things, I can offer the Airbnb and I can offer the cars. And they have no problem paying the $500 to $800 to $1,200 a month for the car because they're getting paid $10,000. So they just added that to the budget. Some of these people, like these actresses, the production teams actually pay for these cars for them. Yeah. So there's so many different strategies when it comes to this. And like I mentioned before, even during the pandemic, where Rose was the grocery delivery and the Postmates and the Uber Eats and things of that nature. Yeah. So I was able to pivot.
I see this as one of these things that's probably one of the more practical things that anybody can really do. Because like I said, I mean, it's one thing, you can start your own car rental business if you want. But for my brand, even for me personally, I'm interested in this because I feel like I explained to you, the play with LA. And so that's like for me personally, but the average person, like I said, you just trying to just save some money. So whether it's renting it to some people that need, you know, a car for the weekend or a Uber Eats driver.
Make it make sense.
From the hours of 4 to 8 o'clock at night, you come home from work and you're not doing nothing at night anyway.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The night workers. You just made me think of that.
I was thinking like the person who gets on the train at 8 a.m. That make 7:30 to pick up time. You get off the train at 6 p.m. You make 6 p.m. the drop off. You're literally picking up the car as you're coming home when you need it.
Or just the soccer mom or whatever that's like, you know what I'm saying, the dad that works a regular job, they traveling, but then they locking in with their kids at night. And, you know, a lot of people, the average person, when they get home at like 6 o'clock, they're not really leaving the house after that. So from the hours of maybe like 6 to 10, a Uber Eats driver can rent your car.
That's a bar.
See what that is.
I didn't even think about that. I just learned that right now.
Welcome to Earn Your Leisure, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. Dang, that's the most practical probably.
Yeah.
But some people have a problem with giving their car to somebody, like even a stranger.
Yeah.
But for me, I realized that when you go to the dealership and get one car, you can get a car for your personal use and a car for rental. You can get two cars and have that one car pay for both.
So
many plays.
On a day-to-day basis, how involved are you in this, right? Because this is a big operation. It sounds like it's not, you call it a small business, but this is a big operation. So you got to hire a team, obviously delegate roles. How involved are you in the process on a day-to-day?
Now I'm only involved in, because I have a team. So I was able to have people I trusted. I'm in a part of a church organization. And having these cars and having these luxury cars and people having keys to this, you need people that you can trust. So because I have so many cars, I needed a team that I trusted, and I have seven. One team handles the protection, loss prevention in the retail space to make sure that we track the cars. So we have an app that we can literally track every single car and where they're at. So that person makes sure they did that. We have the check-in and check-out team, accounting team. We have the customer support team. And the buying team to make sure that we're always getting the right cars and going in and out, selling cars, things of that nature. So for me personally, I don't have to do anything outside of just being a CEO, just over like checking, make sure everything got done for the week. You know what I'm saying?
No,
and my wife, Erica, Miss Erica Pride, she's the queen of managing to the point where I'm free. You know what I'm saying? I'm free from all the frustrations that I had in the early stages of the business.
We just figured out how you got the time for Clubhouse.
Yeah. No, that's it. People always try to look for passive income.
Yeah.
When you have a passive business that's creating passive impact,
that's amazing.
You got time to hop on that Clubhouse. You know what I'm saying?
Passive business creating passive impact. I like that. So it's like, all right, is Turo the same or any of these car services? Are they the same as like Airbnb where how do you actually get on? Like you just got to have an application. Do they accept anybody or?
Yeah, you just, the onboarding process was submit your ID, just like Airbnb. And even if you want to drive for Uber, you have to send your ID, your information, where you live. They vet that. They do a background. They prove you on the platform and you're good to go. it's literally easier uploading your car than it is making a Facebook profile. Literally upload the picture of your car, description, price it, your rules, rates, and the plan that you want to be on when it comes to Turo. You're good to go.
How do you know how to price it? Just what other people are charging? All right,
so we do market research to see what other people are charging, and based off that, and it's in the same cities, in the same area. So, if they charge $150 for a Corvette,
yeah, you're going to charge
$140, just, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Competitive pricing.
You know what I'm saying?
So, this is running out of just the Atlanta not even tri-state, but the Metro?
Yeah, Metro Atlanta, yep.
And are you thinking about expanding to throughout the state of Georgia, yeah, or maybe some other states?
That's a good question. So, for me, I'm actually in this business not even not for the cash flow, because I was actually making more money with less cars because I had less overhead. So I'm actually leveraging this business to have an opportunity to hire people. I'm leveraging this business as an opportunity to be able to network. So when these celebrities come into town, I'm a plug. I have a car for you and the condo. So it's not just about the cash flow, because there's other reasons and intentionalities in this business.
So how did you get Airbnbs? Like, did you do that before Turo or after?
Which one did it first? Yeah, Airbnb was after. I dabbled. I listed my condo just to see what people would do. I listed my condo back in 2014 for $350 just to see if somebody would book it.
A night?
Yeah, okay. And somebody booked it. Okay. I had to cancel it because I was living there. I'm like, no, I can't. But I was surprised that somebody paid $350 a night for my spot. Because when it comes to my payments, my spot was $3,200 a month. I'm probably paying, what's that, $50 to $70 a day? Yeah. Somebody will pay me $350 a day, they said? That blew my mind. But I put a sticky note on that. If I ever need to rent out my spot, I know how to do it.
At least you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I was already familiar with it off of that test.
Yeah.
But as I was doing the cars, naturally people were asking me, yo, do you have a condo to stay? Because they were going to get my car and go to Airbnb. Yeah. Hey, you don't got to do that no more. I'll get an Airbnb. We can do it all the same place. To the point where I was putting my Airbnb listings on my Turo profile. The pictures. So you look at the pictures of the car and then you'll swipe right. You're like, oh, damn, he got a condo too? We in there. And they'll inquire that
so
way.
So it's a package deal.
Package deal.
Because when you travel and you're living in a perfect city.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Being that resource, I don't even call it the plug. I was the extension cord in that situation. I was doing so much to plugging people in. Jason, Mr. 2 Weeks Out, my guy. He said, Lamar Odom, his guy, hit him up. He said, hey, do you know anybody who has an Airbnb space? And because Lamar Odom, he got a house in Atlanta, but it wasn't finished being built. So he needed a place to be at until it was done. So because I had my Airbnb, Jason knew I had Airbnbs, he plugged me in. I wouldn't be able to have a relationship with an NBA player that I used to watch every night back home from my favorite team, Lakers, if I didn't have a resource that was going to be an asset to him, right? And that was crucial. Once I realized that those type of plays can happen, I started getting more Airbnb units. I started building relationships with Wale, 21 Savage. And 21 Savage live in Atlanta, but he's always booking my spot.
You getting Airbnbs?
Yeah.
Why?
We ain't going to go through this.
Come on, Johnny.
Come on,
boy. Tell him. How many questions you got? A lot.
A lot.
Oh, man. 21. He's another Clubhouse champion.
Yeah. Shout out to Beezy.
So that's crazy. I never even thought about it like that. You're using it for like really networking.
Oh, yes.
It's a great networking tool.
Yeah. I like doing businesses that are trendy. So when somebody says Turo, I can be in that conversation and add value. Somebody mentions Airbnb, I can be in that conversation and add value. That's one of my key things. My core value is resourcefulness. I want to be as resourceful as possible. So I know what businesses are shaking, whether e-commerce, whether it's Airbnb, Turo, stocks. I want to be able to tap into all those things so I can be a resource for those who aren't privy to those opportunities.
Well, it makes sense now because you was a party promoter.
Yeah. See? I didn't even connect that dot.
Yeah.
That was LA. That was the LA days.
I didn't even connect that dot.
Because that's the ultimate plug. Like, the party promoters is the ultimate. What do you need? I got everything for you.
Most party promoters, they don't know what to do after they get people in those doors. After they get the celebrity in there, they don't know what to do with them afterwards. They don't have other businesses or other opportunities to help facilitate that relationship and nurture that relationship outside the club.
Yeah, stops there until the next party.
Yeah, you're just a promoter now. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can be more of an asset, way more of an asset if we can figure out what people need.
How much, like, I know it depends on geographics, but like on average, if somebody wanted to start like a car rental business,
yeah,
how much can they like expect to make? Like, what's a good number to hit?
I just use the parameters of each car. So each car, from anywhere from zero to what I was making, $2,600 per car, depending on the type of car. If you got a Lambo, if your homie has a Lambo, like, for example, right now, I'm at the stage in this business where people want to ship me their Lambos from L.A., right? They was like, yo, bro, I don't drive this car. I'm just sitting here paying this $2,500 a month. Let me ship it to the Lambo, and can you rent it out for me and make money, right? And a Lambo can rent out for, what, $1,700 a day? The car note's probably $1,700, right? Even my C8, my brand-new Corvette, my car note on my Corvette is $1,200. That car is getting rented out right now for $800 a day. $800 a day, easy. So all depends on the car, the business model, and what you want to do. Because like you mentioned before, you can do short-term rentals or long-term rentals or hourly rentals. All depends. Typically, nobody's going to really do a short-term hourly rental for a Honda Accord. But they might do it for a slingshot, one of my slingshots. They'll rent it out for an hour.
Yeah.
$150 for an hour. Or a supercar. They just want to go to the little restaurant with their girl for 2 hours. I'll rent it out for 2 hours. I don't need it all night. All depends on the type of car.
So pre-COVID,
yeah,
were you getting into entertainment space where actually like production companies were like, yo, yep, we just need cars? Yep,
definitely.
That was happening?
All the casting directors, the video teams, production teams, they'll call me, you got a car, we need a car for this video.
Right.
Weddings. The people who organize the weddings, I forgot what they're called. But they hit me up. You got any white Bentleys? You got a white S550, white Maserati, anything white really does good with the wedding space. But just being a resource. And through that, I'm starting to meet everybody. Yeah. I'm pulling up my car and find out that the agent booked my car for a super celebrity, A-lister celebrity. And now I'm connected with the celebrity in that aspect. I do marketing as a trade. So now I'm pitching my marketing plans for because of this car. It was a tool.
Matty J, the extension cord.
Yeah, the extension cord. You know what I'm saying?
So you figured the game out. And you know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, you're doing good for yourself. You figured out the Airbnb and you figured out the Toro side of the car. At what point do you get into the education space and start to teach people about this?
So here's the real play. The real play was I knew I was going to be teaching it before I started. This is the play. Because think about it. Anytime somebody does something successful, what's the question that most people ask when they see them doing something successful? How'd you do it?
How?
Put me on. Right?
Mentorship. Can you
something.
Mention? Yeah.
Most people, when we get asked, yo, how did you do it? Most people say, just work hard, grind hard. Fluff. Straight fluff. We need the bars. We need the details. How much money did you spend? How many cars did you have? What was the good things that happened? What were the bad things that happened? It wasn't just you. So who was a part of your team? We need all those details.
Yeah.
But because most people never document in the process, they themselves don't know. Mm. They can't articulate or even share how they did it. They know they put in the sweat equity. They grinded hard because that's all they knew they did. That's all they tell people they did. I just grinded hard. I didn't go to sleep. I worked hard. But if you can document the process, which I did, I documented since day one. I utilize Instagram stories to document my day. Mm. Most people, they treat stories like it's called a story. So I'm telling my story day to day using this specific platform. So people saw when I got my first car, they can just scroll back into the archives. Dang, I remember Maddie got his first car, a Tesla, and he saw his first guest. And now they can see that I have 48 cars now because they saw the journey. But that's not good enough. I need to package this information into a content that people can really dive in and duplicate this process or replicate it for themselves, how they want to. But as an educator, my job isn't to say, yo, if you do it like me, you're gonna get the same results. No, my job is to present opportunities that exist. And then you pick out of these opportunities, this one makes sense for me in my situation, scenario, circumstance.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I love the entrepreneurs that have created online curriculums because it's like one of the things that 19 Keys said, shout out to 19 Keys.
My guy.
On a podcast is he said, everything that the school system didn't teach us has created opportunities for us to teach at a much cheaper price. If you think about it, like you're going to college and you're spending $30,000, $40,000, you buy a course for a couple thousand, I mean,
you're in there.
That's more probably valuable than your college degree because it's specific.
Yeah.
Like this is, I want to have a car rental business. Can't go to college to have a car rental business. So what do? You either Google your life away and try to figure out, hopefully you make it, or you just follow a proven blueprint by somebody that's already been successful, that's actually documented it. They put it in nice video format and it's a step-by-step. Mm-hmm. They have the whole thing laid out for you and you just got to follow the blueprint. And for me, it's like it's been a game changer because I've actually seen it, how, you know, whether it's Wall Street Trapper, whether it's MG the Mortgage Guy, whether it's Him 500, and it's like it's not necessarily like one of the things that we heard that was the best is like no school is judged by the teachers or the principals. The school is judged by the students.
Oh, students.
Yeah. Students.
Oh yeah, yeah. Alumni.
The success of the students. So when alumni. You hear about Howard University, when you hear about Harvard, Yale, they don't reference the founders. Oh, they reference Bill Gates went here and this guy went here and Mark Zuckerberg. Even if they dropped out, they went there. Yeah. Puffy went, like, you know what I'm
That's
saying? So the school is only as good as the students. And now, so I had to say, I'm watching the online entrepreneurs. I'm not, these guys are successful. But for me, it's the actual success stories that I'm hearing from the students. Seeing that.
You know who kills the game of that? Alex Good Energy.
Yep.
Alex Good Energy. We saw that firsthand today.
Yeah.
Member success.
You know what's so crazy? He just DM'd me like an hour ago and he was like, check out this caption. And it was one of his portal members and it was like, yo, buying this portal, it changed my whole life. I'm on my third truck, da 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 da. Testimonies.
You don't gotta sell no more.
Nah.
Success sells it. Like you said, it's success.
Yeah. Good dope sells itself.
Yeah, that's a fact. So I say that to say, man, it's dope. So exactly what's in your curriculum?
Yeah, the play, same thing. Everything I did, I documented this story. Everything I just mentioned today, it's more visual because I have the pictures to prove it. I got the receipts.
It's the step-by-step hold your hand.
Yeah. I got the receipts. I got the Excels. I'm really transparent. That's one of my other core values. Outside of resourcefulness, transparency. I really, and the reason why I'm so transparent, because usually when I'm talking, I'm really animated. Some people probably listen to me like, yo, this dude is cap. He's lying. Ain't no way he got 33 cars in 2 weeks. Cool, I understand. Let me just show you, because I can show you better than I can tell you. So that allowed me to be more of a documenter. So I can be able to show.
Yeah, you got the receipts.
Yeah, I got the receipts. So I show those receipts. When I realized most people, because I didn't need a course. Because I can't sit there and say, you need this course to be successful. I didn't take the course. What I can do is I can help expedite the process for you. What I can do is give you encouragement and hope. I think that's really what the value of the course is. Community, accountability, and encouragement. Because a lot of people didn't have the same belief system I did when I started. I believed that I can get 50 cars and have no issue. And you can't really teach that. So that's where the community aspect comes to. Community for me is common unity. So I want to gather all the people who want to turn those liabilities into assets together, so we can be able to move farther together in this situation.
That's a fact. So, you know, in true EYO fashion, you know, we bring all kinds of entrepreneurs on. And like a lot of them have curriculums, whether it's MG the Mortgage Guy, whether it's Him 500, Wall Street Trapper. And we encourage that. I know I love it. I get courses all the time. The craziest thing in the world was when Mark Cuban told me that he buys courses. I don't know if you watched that episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. He was like,
that was a crazy. Shout out to y'all for having that
interview. I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. Co-signed everything I've been saying. And now everybody tapping in. Like,
it was so crazy. When he said, I'm like, ask him, like, how many hours a day do you spend learning? He's like, all day. Mm-hmm. He's like, I buy books. I buy da 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 da. I buy online courses. And I'm like, you buy? He's like, yeah. He's like, I tap in. So, I say that to say, you know, one of the things that we always, you know, try to encourage entrepreneurs when they come on the platform is to give a special offer that nobody else has, you know, especially for the EYL community. And Matty J obliged. So, you set up a website. The website is carrentalgameeyl.com, and it's going to be $500 off of the course. And once again, the course teaches you everything you need to know to start a car rental business, whether you actually want to have a whole fleet of cars like he does, or whether you want to just supplement your income and do, you know, just the one car that you have, or whether you're trying to live like me and go from New York to LA or whatever your play is. That's the great thing about this whole car rental space is that there's so many different plays for you. So if you're interested, you can go to carrentalgameeyl.com. for $500 off. That's exclusive. You're not going to find that price anywhere else on the internet. It's the cheapest that you can possibly get. And if you're looking to invest in your education, you can take it from there. Matty J, it's been a pleasure, my brother.
Most definitely.
What would you like to tell the people? Social media handles, all of that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm CEO Matty J, and I'm known as a digital real estate investor, right? A lot of times when we get on social media, or even when we buy website domains, domain literally means you own territory on the World Wide Web. So if you own territory on that World Wide Web, let's be landscapers, contractors, let's be investors and buy, fix, flip, build different businesses on this World Wide Web so we can create assets that we can also pass down. We already know about the importance of real estate in the real world. Same thing in the digital world. So you can find me on CEO Matty J, my Instagram handle, Clubhouse, CEO Matty J, even my website, CEOMattyJ.com.
That digital real estate, like Ben X says, that's crucial. Ben X.
Worldwide.
Shout out to Ben X. Shout out to BWO, everybody over
there. Shout out
to the guys.
Shout out to the guys, man. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. Tier 5 members, you have access to EYL University, the number one place for business, entrepreneurism, and anything finance. Mm-hmm. Number one in the world, really. So shout out to all the earners that are there. And shout out to everybody that is supporting the merch, the EYL University merch, the Assets Over Liability shirts. And we got that. The shout out got them special sneakers, man. Shout out to the Assets Over Liabilities. They're calling them the Asset Ones. I saw that online.
I like that.
Shout out to the Asset Ones. And
they release it?
Yo, check his feet.
Oh, yeah, you know, they
shit. Yeah, yo.
Shout out to EYL and shout out to Mike, Jamal, everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know what you guys are doing is really special.
I appreciate that.
So we appreciate all y'all. Thank you.
And shout out to Matty too, because he not only does he do car rental, he's actually a renaissance man. And he created a whole curriculum on for how to make your online university.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we have EYL University. So when he was talking about the game on, you know, how to actually, what he said made a lot of sense. It was like, the model of education
isn't bad.
It's the implementation of it, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit before we leave?
Yeah.
That was a bar.
Yeah, it's because, like, a lot of us entrepreneurs, we poo-poo our traditional schooling systems. What we're really poo-pooing on is the curriculums, what they haven't been teaching us. The system in itself, it works. They have a grading system, accountability system. They have mascots to help with the feeling.
School spirit.
They have the orientation, test exams. All those things allow somebody to move from first grade to second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and so on. But as soon as we graduated out of high school, we no longer had that system if you didn't go to college. It's more like freestyle. So we're all over the place freestyling. So nowadays, we shouldn't poo-poo on college system. Or we should just poo-poo on a curriculum. And that gives, like 19 said, we shouldn't be complaining. It gave us an opportunity to be able to teach it. So we should be happy. But the structure of colleges, the structure of high schools and school systems still need to be in place. So for all us educators in the infotainment space or the infopreneur space, we still need to model the things that allow colleges to exist to this day. Mm-hmm. Colleges are traditionally, education is recession-proof. Keep it real. You can talk all you want about it, it's gonna be here.
Infotainment.
Nah, that's a fact. When you said that, it was like we already had a lot of those systems in place, but even more. And when you told me that and then you showed me the whole thing, I'm like, nah, this is definitely something that, and we've actually implemented a lot of those things in the EYL University. Because like you said, I mean, it's already 100 years old.
Yeah.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to actually take
innovate.
The good. Everything has good and bad.
Yeah.
You take the good, you
spit out the bad,
and then you put your and now you just have a better product.
Facts.
So,
facts.
So yeah, that was a gem for
thanks
sure.
Thanks to God, man. Yeah.
Well, EYL University, of course, sure, that's the premier.
You know what I'm saying?
So yes, Matty J, once again, if you're interested in getting the exclusive $500 off the master program when it comes to starting a tar business and getting your foot up and running, go to Car Rental Game. EYL.com.
Yes,
we'll see you on the other side. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.